So folks, welcome back. At this stage of the game, you would think that this would all be settled. We've had the Electoral College vote. They're going to be taking the votes. They're going to be counting the votes here on January 6th. And on January 20th, we're going to have the inauguration. So you wouldn't think this still would be an issue, but it is. And why this isn't settled, really, to me, is the $100,000 question. The crazy thing is, folks, over the weekend, Donald Trump had a really interesting meeting at the White House, evidently, on Friday night. He had Sidney Powell and Mike Flynn that came to the White House with Donald Trump and some of the White House lawyers. Among those was Pat Cipollone, in addition to a few others. And they wanted to look, Trump wanted to look at some options that they had. So you have Mike Flynn there prodding Trump to declare martial law, basically, over this election situation. And then you have Sidney Powell feeding into the narrative, offering her two cents on the Dominion voting system's angle with her addition of fake election fraud to boot. So all that, folks, ending with Trump attorneys and the White House chief of staff, Mark Meadows, talking Trump down off the ledge, literally, of screaming for martial law, which is, it's hard to imagine. But this is the way it is right now. We've got to deal with this. So on Sunday, Donald Trump tweeted out a clip of Peter Navarro, who is Trump's director of trade and manufacturing policy. So I took a look at what he said, and I wanted to see in detail what his claims were, what Peter Navarro was claiming. So have a listen to this, folks. We'll kick it off with this one. Have a listen.
Well, that consent decree, which Kemp was involved in as well, I mean, that thing is against Georgia state law. It basically wipes out signature match. There's a great...
Wow. So he's saying that that thing is against Georgia state law, and it basically wipes out signature matching. But let's go to the facts here. And when I say the facts, I mean Georgia's elected election officials. Let's go to them and see what they say. So here's Gabe Sterling, and have a listen to what he said, folks.
As the president saying it, but this consent decree literally didn't do anything and change the law of how we do signature match. If you look at it, it says you can match the signature back to the request, but the request was already matched to what was on file. And what they do is they always keep all the signatures there so that they can have a history of these things. One of the things we learned from what we did is we strengthened the training from the Georgia Bureau of Investigations to where you say, you want to see a history. If you get more signatures, you get better signature match. And that's one of the things we did. We actually strengthened signature match, not the opposite of that.
So we actually strengthened signature match. And this is the man that's elected to do that in Georgia, Peter Navarro. Why don't you talk to him? I don't know where he gets these facts. They're trying to build a case where there is no case. And then Peter Navarro then tried to make the point that the signature rejection rate was 6% in the 2016 election and then nearly zero in the 2020 election. So have a listen to this.
It's a great part of the report, and I urge everybody to read it, where I compare the rejection rate for absentee ballots in Georgia in 2016.
Yeah.
It's 6%. It goes down to virtually nothing in 2020, while the number of absentee ballots skyrocket. And if you simply were to apply that rejection rate to 2020, it would be more than enough to wipe out the Biden victory margin. Just on that alone.
No, it's preposterous.
So it's complex and granular.
If you looked at it just based on that signature match analysis, it was enough to wipe out Biden's lead in Georgia on that alone. It's preposterous, right? Chuckleheads. So here again, let's go back to the facts. The elected official in Georgia, here's Gabe Sterling, and here's what he had to say, folks.
There's another thing I want to make sure people understand, because I've seen this 3% number thrown around as the old rejection rate. What they're doing there is they're comparing apples and oranges. The entire rejection rate is 3%, and the vast majority of that 3% is the ballots that show up late. If it's just signature match on the oath, that is 0.15% to 0.2%. And that's been that way, as I said on the phone call this morning, in 16, 18, and 20. It's about the same. Of the 1.3 million ballots we had this year, we had 2011 that were eventually you know, not allowed to be brought in, which is 0.15%. In 2016, the last presidential election, there were 580 ballots that had a missing or inaccurate oath, which is a signature, out of 246,000, which was, guess what, 0.15%. So it's, they're confusing the issue in some degree.
So what he's saying is that Peter Navarro is basically comparing apples and oranges in this whole situation. The high rejection rate includes the votes that were received too late. So you've got to look at what's going into the numbers, Peter Navarro. And I don't think you did that, because here is the elected official in Georgia that's basically saying your numbers don't make sense. And now we know why. So in 2020, folks, out of 1.3 million absentee votes that were cast, 2,011 of those votes were not allowed. And that means that they were missing the signatures, or the signatures were bad. They just weren't allowed. So that rejection rate is 0.15%. Take it to 2016. 246,000 absentee votes were cast. 580 of those votes got rejected for the same reason. They were either missing a signature or the signature did not match. That is a rejection rate of 0.15%. Mystery solved. It's not that complicated, but you have to know what the numbers are and what they include when you're doing your analysis, Peter. So, Peter, if you went to Harvard, man, you got me fooled. Folks, till next time, thanks for listening.